Okay, here we go. So, this is what happened a Sunday ago. You took a piece of paper and you wrote down the thing that was the most hectic for you right now or then, okay? And so as we had a look at the different responses to what's making me not feel okay, there were clusters of things that seemed to come up, common themes. And we chose on Sunday to go after that one, the good one, the mustard one, the family one, okay? And what I'm not going to do tonight is do what I did on Sunday. Sunday felt like the long winter of the soul because I spoke a lot. And hopefully tonight we're going to explore what family is all about. So kill the lights. Let's hear what Bart has got to say about family. If you've ever had horns locked with one of your parents, then tonight is for you. If you've ever been in one of those moments where you feel like, ah, what's going on? Who are these aliens? And how did they take away my nice, loving parents? Well, tonight is for you. And we want to explore what it is that makes family so not okay. How does it go from romance? I mean, I don't know what song you're humming right now, but it's probably a song about, I've just met her, and she's so perfect, and she completes me, and she's so pretty, and he's so awesome, and next minute we're going to be having a wedding, and we all know that that's very short time, a couple hours before the honeymoon, where you play bowls together, not sure what you do on honeymoon, but before long, you're fighting with each other, and before long, you've got kids, so you're not fighting anymore because it's all lacquer. But before long, you're fighting and the kids are cowering away in the stairway. And before long, the kids are fighting and you turn to them and say, don't make me come back there. I don't know what parents mean like that. You know, his dad's busy driving. He's like, don't make me come back there. What, is he going to leave the car driving on autopilot, get back there and beat you up? Probably, because dads aren't always the wisest. And you know what? It is really cute when families fight on Bart Simpson. And in any sitcom, all of us, we laugh our heads off. But it's not so cute when it happens in real life, right? People don't always fight nicely like they do in sitcoms. And so tonight we want to talk and have you talk about what can we do to survive this war at home. And we've taught you a simple procedure, something that you can follow throughout the series. And you are going to bring these alive, these five steps. We're going to start with the first one tonight, admit to yourself, okay? Here's what I want you to do. If some are pretty assistants, make sure every person gets one piece of that. Make sure every person gets one of these. That's a tough thing. I don't know if you can do it. You're at Parktown Boys. Who's not at Parktown Boys? You're not. Can you help hand those out? It's that the Parktown Boys are overworked at school. That's why they need a bit of a break. And here's what you're going to do. You are going to write on side A of that paper the five things that you dislike. Okay, you're not hitting the like button. You're hitting the dislike button about your family. So it could be about that primary person in your home that you normally lock horns with. Maybe it's about your mum or your dad or your caregiver or your auntie who lives with you. Maybe you're the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and you live with your auntie. So five things, one on each line that you dislike about family, your family. I want you to turn the page over, Hannah. Okay, so you turn it over, and on the other side, you write down five things I like about my family. Work at one, okay? If you can get one, keep going. When you get to two, keep going. Five things I like about my family. Here's what I want us to do. I want to figure out what you learned from doing that exercise. I want you to think about what you've just done. You started with five things you dislike, five things you like. Before you answer back, if you found it hard to list five things that you dislike about your family, I want you to get up and move towards that side of the room. If you found it hard to list five things that you dislike about your family, move to that side. And if you find it easy to do that, I want you to move to that side of the room. That side of the room, if you find it easy to list five things you dislike. Now, you found it easy to list five things you like about your parents, move to that side of the room. If you find it difficult to list five things you like, move to this side of the room. Difficult family. Family, not just parents. Good. Now, who is bold enough to come and tell me, what did you learn by doing that exercise?
From doing my exercise, I realized that it's easier to find the bad in things than find the good sometimes.
I found it like sometimes for each bad situation, you kind of find a good side in it. Like even if it's something like you don't do as well as you wanted to in a test, and your parents complain, you know that they actually really care about you working hard and getting to your full potential.
Okay, I learned that in most situations in family, it's not always black and white. There's normally a kind of in-between thing there. So if your parents shout at you, it's probably for a reason. And if you're angry at your parents, it's probably for a reason as well. So nothing, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, the first step in dealing with any tough situation is what? Acceptance? It's what? Admit it to yourself. No matter what you're going through in life, the first point, the starting point is to say, Mark, you're a bit thick sometimes, you don't always get it, but I want to just tell you X, Y, Z. And that is the start of recovery. Realizing that, you know what, there's some issues here, there's something I need to deal with. I was taught to write five things that I disliked about my dad at one point in my life, and I scribbled them down, and the guy said, turn it over and write five things you like about him. And I kind of go one. And then after like about 5 minutes, I got another one, and then I was totally stuck. And he said, no, go sit down and do it. And as I started to think more and more, I started to realize, you know what? There's a whole lot. Okay, now I'm not getting preachy, okay? So that was what I learned from the exercise. The second thing is speak to father. Now, who's father? Are we talking about earthly father? No, we're not. Because we don't all have that, and they're not always accessible. But we can speak to heavenly father. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab this piece of paper. Who are those lovely assistants? Make sure everyone gets a piece of paper. And what I want you to do is in about 3 minutes, I want you to write a letter to God about one of the key issues that came up, maybe that you wrote down, or an issue that you're feeling is relevant at the moment. It may just be a desire for closer connection, a desire that this continues, that where you're at won't end. Remember, some of you here tonight probably are more in the hero category than in other words, you're here to help some of us with our family issues. Remember that Super Chicks video, Hero? Sometimes I'm learning stuff to use with others. So don't all have to pretend tonight that your family sucks. And as Caitlin challenged us, sometimes there's a bit of silver lining on every cloud. Okay? So right where you are, it starts, Dear God, my name is Bart. Or however you want to start. You're done. You don't need to put a stamp on it. You just come and put it in the post box here, and we'll post it off to God with one stamp. It's a long way to heaven. Okay, as you're finishing off, what we're going to do in a minute or two is on the count of three, we're going to say this. God, you've got mail. Okay, are you ready? It's going to be on the count of three, and that's going to like show up on the screen, because he's obviously got a huge plasma screen. And he will personally read each, which I suspect he's already done. Are you ready? One. Two. Three. God, you've got mail. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you receive mail and that you read every single mail that comes your way. Doesn't always feel like it from our side, but we know that you respond, Lord God, whenever we raise a prayer. And we've done that tonight. We've prayed on paper. We do pray, Lord God, as we've got honest with ourselves this evening, as we've spoken to you, we pray that we're on a journey of finding true fulfillment in this era of our lives. We pray that we would see you move in this week in powerful ways to bring about a new and a better future, that your comfort, your healing, your mercy, your intervention would happen in every era where it's needed. In your name we pray. Amen. Once I've admitted to myself and engaged Father God, it's really important to tell a friend, to call someone up, to speak to someone. And it's because, you know, in this area of family, parents just don't understand. I'm going to show you the first half of a clip from a video, which I won't tell you what year it was made. And if I told you it was 1988, you wouldn't believe me. It's by a very young Will Smith, called Parents Just Don't Understand.
You know, parents are the same, no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue, parents just don't understand. Me school shopping, it was me, my brother, my mom, my pop, and my little sister all hopped in the car. We headed downtown to the gallery mall. My mom started bugging with the clothes she chose. I didn't say nothing at first, I just turned to my nose. She said, "What's wrong? This shirt costs $20. I said, "Mom, the shirt is plaid with a butterfly collar." The next half hour was the same old thing. My mother buying me clothes from 1963, and then she lost her mind and did the ultimate. I asked her for Adidas and she bought me Zips. I said, "Mom, what are you doing? You ruined my rep." She said, "You're only 16, you don't have a rep yet." I said, "Mom, let's put these clothes back, please." She said, "No, you go to school to learn, not for a fashion show." I said, "This isn't shine, I'm not, come on, Mom, I'm not Bowser, Mom, please, but back the bell-bottom Brady Bunch trousers. But if you don't want to, I can live with that, but you gotta put back the double-knit reversible slacks." She wasn't with it, everything stayed the same. Inevitably, the first day of school came. Get over. I tried to play sick, but my mom said, "No, no way, forget it." There was nothing I could do. I tried to relax. I got dressed up in those ancient artifacts. And when I walked into school, it was just as I thought. The kids were cracking up, laughing at the clothes Mom bought. And those who weren't laughing still had a ball, because they were pointing and whispering as I walked down the hall. I got home and told my mom how my day went. She said, "If they laughing, you don't need them, because they're not good friends." For the next 6 hours, I tried to explain to my mom that I was going to have to go.
Do they? I want to ask you a question now, and I'm going to have you spend a bit of time in some groups. What do your parents do that is just not okay? Okay? What are some of the things that they do that drive you nuts? Some of the things that, you know, maybe they make you wear those clothes like a Will is being forced to wear. Okay? So, groups of no more than five. So, right where you are, just a group of five, doesn't matter who you are, if you're with your mates, it's cool. So right over here, there's some guys, if you want to be one old group over here, there's some girls at the back, a couple of you joining, okay, so right where you go, I want you to think of some common things that, so maybe let each person share something, and point someone to come and share back the top five things that they can share back, okay? Okay, find someone that's going to share back and let them take mental note of some of what comes up. I want you to find that top thing on that list. The wildest thing, the one that like everyone either agreed with. Each group is going to share one thing. One thing, that top thing. That top thing, and Imta is going to come to the group and give you the mark.
What am I?
Okay, well, we've got five short things, and I'm not going to mention which one belongs to who. Okay, and one of them is that the parents sometimes your parents always think that they are right. And even in a situation when you do prove them wrong, they're almost too afraid to admit that you are right. Another one is when you're just trying to explain that something had happened, they will say that you're backchatting them. Mm. When you're actually explaining, then if that's backchat, then they would be backchatting to you the whole time. Another one is that if they hear a story from another child's mom saying that your child did this and this and this, they sometimes won't believe their child. They'll actually just believe what other people have told them.
Okay.
Then the other one is negative favoritism. Almost that they're paying too much attention to the other sibling. If the other sibling's got other problems, they don't really worry about your problems as much. And the last one is they're sometimes a bit too protective. Like, they always, like, want to know your every step, or they won't let you go into a shop by yourself when you really just want to. So that's us.
Stunning. Stunning.
Our number one thing was all the responsibility being placed on you for something. So even if it was you and your sibling, they'll just focus in on you. They'll say, bam, bam, bam. You come home, house is a mess, bam, what's wrong with you? And the second thing was comparing you to your sibling. It doesn't feel nice when that happens. And saying, look at this guy versus you. It's like this report versus this, and he's doing this, but you aren't. And it's almost the diminishing of you and making everyone else slightly more important.
What our group decided, discussed and said is that like, most of the times you ask your mom or your dad, like, mom, can you please come to school, watch me play soccer or something? And then after, like, maybe at the end of the game, that's when they start coming and they say traffic. So that's when we saw that parents don't understand when we say we need your support. They would lie to you and say traffic when they know that they just didn't want to come.
Wow.
Then another one was the same thing as our next door neighbors.
The pressure, brother.
The pressure, yes, yes. Like, if you've got a sister and your sister's, like, doing better than you in schoolwork, they'll appreciate that more than you doing better than in sports.
Okay. Favoritism.
Yeah, favoritism. Danke.
Okay, next group. Yeah. Nice, Pepsi. Nice. Next group.
Okay. Group of girls here. Chatty, chatty.
Okay.
Hey. Yes, there. We came up with 5 problems. Which one of them? Okay, yeah. One of them is when they shout at you in all 11 official South African languages. That's one. That's the number one problem. Number two is when they don't give you money when you need it. Number three is making tea nonstop. Number four is cutting into very important TV time. Yes. And then number five, last, is cleaning at night. That's not right.
Cleaning at night.
Okay, the boys, yeah, have a problem. They say that they don't like curfew. Like, their parents always tell them that they must be home by 5. They think they're being treated as kids. And another thing is when your parents, your mom or dad wakes up in a bad mood and then the stress is taken out on you, you know. When they're angry, they expect you to be also angry and everything. That's just not on.
Okay, good. Thank you.
We said basically one thing about our parents are always controlling us about, like, for instance, if we go to the mall or something by ourselves, then, like, you have to be at this time, you have to come home at this time, you have to be, like, and we also say, they also think they're right all the time, basically. And they change your plans whenever you feel like it, basically.
Thanks.
Okay, like, one of the main things was conflict when you're fighting with your parents and you're not on the same level, you don't understand each other, or you think you don't understand each other, and when they don't allow you the freedom that you think you should have, and they don't you think they don't understand what it means to you, and you think they're just being offish or whatever, and just the whole conflict fighting between you and when your parents fight with each other.
Sure.
We came up with 10 thingies in total. I'm not going to go into detail for each.
Good.
We came up with high expectations, non-acceptance, overprotectiveness, embarrassment, such as coming to school and so forth. Comparing each other to other kids, not just siblings. Mm. Intolerance, not accepting the marks that you get. Not understanding us as children, so if I want to go out on a Saturday night, she tells me no, nabathakathi and everything. Those awkward talks they give you about awkward things. Not being trustable, and shouting at you. But
Our group decided that parents just don't care. Let's say, like, you come home and, like, you got the highest mark in the whole class, and they're like, oh, mom, I got, like, 50%. It's like, so? And then, mom, I just ran athletics trials and I came first, so do I care? Like, things like that. And second is, like, let's say you're angry or something and you just not don't want to talk, and then she just comes, say, don't give me that attitude. I was once 14 once, so I was not acting like that with my parents. So please, just stop it. You know, stuff like that.
Awesome, awesome. I don't know if you noticed, but I stopped that video halfway. Okay, so kill the light. Let's finish that video and let's start groups.
Okay, here's the situation. My parents went away on a week's vacation and they left the keys to the brand new Porsche. Play mine. Well, of course not. I'll just take it for a little spin and maybe show it off to a couple of friends. I'll just cruise it around the neighborhood. Well, maybe I should. Yeah, of course I should. Pay attention, here's the thick of the plot. I pulled up to the corner at the end of my block, and that's when I saw this beautiful girly girl walking. I picked up my car phone to perpetrate like I was talking. Should've seen this girl's bodily dimensions. I honked my horn just to get her attention. She said, was that for me? I said, yeah. She said, why? I said, come on and take a ride with a hell of a guy. She said, how do I know you're not sick? You could be some deranged lunatic. I said, come on, toots. My name is the Prince. Besides, what a lunatic to have a Porsche like this. She a beat and we were on our way. She was looking very good, so was I, must say. We hit McDonald's, pulled into the drive. We ordered two Big Macs and two large fried cokes. She kicked her shoes off, onto the floor. She said, drive fast, speed turns me on. She put her hand on my knee, I put my foot on the gas. We almost got whiplash, I took off so fast. The sunroof was open, the music was high, and this girl's hand was steadily moving up my thigh. She had opened up three buttons on her shirt so far. I guess that's why I didn't notice that police car. We're doing 90 in my mom's new Porsche, and to make this long story short, when the cop pulled me over, I was scared as hell. I said, I don't have a license, but I drive very well, officer. Almost had a heart attack that day. Come to find out the girl was a 12-year-old runaway. I was arrested, the car was impounded. There was no way for me to avoid being grounded. My parents had to come off a vacation to get me. I'd rather be in jail than to have my father hit me. My parents walked in and I got my grip. I said, mom, dad, how was your trip? They didn't speak. I said, I don't want to plead my case. But my father just shoved me in the car by my face. That was a hard ride home. I don't know how I survived it. They took turns. One would beat me while the other one was driving. I can't believe it. I just made a mistake.
Here's what I want to ask you. What do you do that's not okay? Clearly, stealing my parents' car and cruising when I don't have a license is not cool. Same group. What is the top couple things that you do that cause the war in the home? Okay, there you go. And we'll have a few report backs too. Okay, Imta's going to come to each group. And this time we want you to share a couple things like you did last time. That was fun. Doesn't have to be one. We'll start maybe with this group down over here. What do you do that is not okay in the context of family and relationships? Okay, hold on, just one moment. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. I think one thing that we do that's not okay is I don't think we appreciate our parents, and we don't realize how much they do for us, you know, because like, you know, when we're thinking of we want that pocket money for like movies or whatever, and our parents can't give it to us, we don't realize that our parents have a lot on their plate, you know. Maybe they can't give us that pocket money because they have to pay the bills. They have to pay the electric bills and the water bills. They have to pay petrol for the car. They have to pay the school fees. And, you know, they have a lot of stress too. And, yeah, we just have to realize that they do a lot for us. So I guess we should try and, you know, do some stuff for them.
Nice. Okay. Next group.
Okay. So basically what we said is sometimes you're on your own mission and your parents ask you to do something and you kind of say, I'll do that later. Then sometimes you actually end up not doing it. So, and then the other one is a communication problem. Sometimes you just completely misunderstand each other and don't understand where the other person's coming from. And you also sometimes when you get in a fight, you'll give your parents a silent treatment. Hmm. But that does not really affect it. And also just fighting about silly things or just fighting in general. And lots of conflict with siblings. Like just almost being too sensitive.
We realized that with our families, it was more miscommunication on behalf of the kids. Not listening to parents at times. Sorry. Not listening to parents at times. And just general laziness on our behalf.
Some of the key things about what we do wrong in our families is when we argue with our siblings, often about small and important things that can be overlooked, or we just start arguing with them. Also irritating each other, and I can lie down if I want. And then... And then also not having first-time obedience when our parents call us to do something or ask us to do something and then we do something else first and then we forget or we just don't do it as soon as we should and then that starts fights. And also having a bad attitude, yeah, towards our parents and siblings.
The thing that we do that's not okay, since we're girls, it's not cooking. Back chatting. Coming home late from school, playing loud music, leaving without telling where we're going, being a Tom chick, and nagging, and nagging about things all the time.
Our group thinks that we are unfair towards our parents because we are inconsiderate and demanding at most times. Yebo. Yes, brothers.
I guess sometimes it's not realizing the effort that they put into the things that they get us. And just being lazy, you know. Sometimes they want things to be done the very moment they say it. You know, I don't know. And then, like, do the deeds. And then you just kind of like hold a little, you know, be lazy, you know, not exactly act at the very moment you're told. But, yeah.
If I was an impartial judge tonight and I was sitting and I would have to sentence either the parents to a life in jail or the kids to a life in jail, I don't think I'd be able to make up my mind which one. It sounds like both sides have room for work, don't you think? You know, so maybe I need to pass on some of your comments about parents to the parents within the church and your families. Hey, here's some things that you can work on. Sounds like both sides have some stuff to work on. And maybe one day, one side will be more at fault than the other side. And I guess that's family and that's relationships. As we move towards the latter stages and wrapping up, I want to help you do a bit of asking for help, okay? So if you can leave your seats and just stand in one big circle, we're going to practice asking for help. I want you to make a circle. Okay, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm not sure who's going to be brave enough to kick us off, but I want you to step into the middle of the circle, take the microphone from Mtawalanga, And I want you to ask for help with some specific situation, maybe some conflict in the family or something. And then I want you to hold the microphone out, and someone, some expert, is going to step forward, grab the microphone, and give you some advice. Okay, so think of a situation that you're willing to put out there. It's going to take courage because you're going to put yourself out there. And you're going to briefly describe where you need help and what it is. And then someone in the group is going to step forward and is going to give you some advice. Okay? Ready? Okay, so Ben's going to kick us off. He's going to share a situation, ask for help, and someone or two are going to come forward and share some words that you sense God might be having you share into the mix. And chances are, not only Ben needs to hear that answer, but maybe me and you even. Thanks, Ben.
I'm at that point in my life where my mom is, my mom, dad, yes, all of them, they're just, I don't know, sort of nervous about whether I'm going to high school, and they're just putting a lot of pressure on me from all the work that they're getting. Like my dad, one of his employees was stealing from him, and mom was sort of the same situation. So it feels like they're unloading the pressure on me, and that sort of does affect me in certain ways.
What can you do? Is that what you're asking? What can you do in the situation? Okay, someone? Okay, grab the mic. Come stand next to him.
Okay. One thing that you can do, I think, is just talk to your parents. You know, a lot of the time, like as we said, miscommunication. I think we need to elaborate more, explain stuff, you know, to our parents. Because if you haven't noticed, they were born a lot earlier than we were. So we live in a different time. So a lot of the problems can be solved by just talking to your parents. So yeah, try and talk to your parents and tell them how you feel and ask them to, like, you know, help you with it. So
nice.
Yeah.
Someone else dying to say, or finding the right moment is really important. Not in the heat of like conflict situation, but maybe when things are okay and you're just chilling, that might be a time to bring it up. Okay, thanks, Bianca.
Okay, just to kind of elaborate on what Lolly said, what I've learned with experience is when I get angry, I usually say a lot of things I end up regretting. And so I've got quite a sharp tongue when I'm angry. And what I've learned with my friends, the best way to handle things like that is when you walk, you just need to go into a very neutral kind of territory with them. Is you can't go in with your opening line being like, oh, okay, you're such a bad parent and damn you and whatever, because you're really not going to get any. You really just need to be like, I'm asking you why, or what's your reason, or please explain something to me, or this is the problem and I need you to help me with it because it's actually affecting me. You're putting pressure on me that I can't deal with because I need to deal with my own problems. But yeah, you just really need to be careful about how you approach something like that when you talk to them. Just be very open to what they're saying, because a lot of the time they don't mean it. They don't mean to put pressure on you. I know as well my parents are under a lot of stress and they don't mean to carry whatever burdens they're carrying. And you just need to sit down and talk to them about it.
Caitlin? And then we'll move on to the next person.
I just got something quick. I think most of us here have gone through the stage when parents are wondering about high school and then they start thinking about university and they're almost too busy seeing what's going to happen in the future than actually focusing on what's happening at that moment. And basically you just need to just slow down, just say, can we just focus on now? Just do what you want to do, work hard, try and get into the school you want to go to. And also just listen to what your parents have to say and see if you think that that could be the best route for you or if that's completely the opposite of what you want to do.
Thank you, Ben. Really appreciate you stepping forward to kick us off. Round of applause. Simone.
With my parents, I just feel like I'm not accepted, really. Like, I would walk into the kitchen and my dad would just start saying, like, oh, look how skinny she is. And, like, you should go on a diet. And, like, sometimes I feel like I should. Sometimes I feel like I should say to my dad, like, have you ever thought, like, I'm happy how I am? And, like, I think I'm pretty. And maybe you should, like, start thinking that I'm happy like this. But I don't know if I should or I shouldn't know what I should do in the situation.
Someone sensing something. Thank you.
I just think that you shouldn't think about what he says. You should think about what's inside you. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you think of yourself? And always know that God loves you, only you. If you're unhappy with yourself, then change it somehow. But you are beautiful. Don't think about what anyone says to you.
Someone else?
Do you know, no one is actually ugly on this earth. It's you're sure they can have an ugly personality, but no one is ugly in looks and stuff. It's the only thing is on how people see you. So you mustn't care of what how people see you. The most important thing is how you see yourself. That will determine everything else, I promise you. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks about you. Nice. You must just know that first that you are beautiful, you have a great personality, everything like that.
Awesome. Ife, so glad you didn't leave. You were meant to be here tonight just for this.
I personally don't think your dad's doing it to attack you. Well, that's because I don't think any father or any like parents really wants their child to feel bad about themselves. So like, I think you should do what, like, just talk to him and tell him that you're not okay with what he's saying to you. And you should tell him that I am happy with myself and you should accept me for who I am and not who you want me to be. And I'm sure like, he just wants you to be like what he thinks is good. I'm sure he has his own mindset of what he thinks is good and nice, but you need to tell him that you're fine and you're okay with yourself. But also don't like, just don't go attacking him. Just be like, Dad, I know you think that being thin and that kind of person is fine, but I'm okay with myself. But you should know that you're beautiful and you don't have to change for anyone.
Thank you. Yeah, and also then, I wonder if you've noticed how valuable it is getting more than one comment. Have you noticed that? It's like one person doesn't capture everything that needs to be said in the moment. And that might be something to take away with us as we ask for help, to know that, you know what, in the counsel of many counselors is great wisdom. And that's from the book of Proverbs. I'd love to actually have a whole lot more, but I think we're cutting to the chase. I think we've started a conversation with this. I want to make a few closing comments. You can just stand there as I do that. Because the last thing that we do is that we focus on the future. We kind of step away from where we're at right now. And here's what I want to think of. What would you do, or what would you like to have your kids say about you at your funeral? Now, this fast forwards into the future, like by some 60 years maybe. But it's your time to leave this earth. And your kids are going to get the microphone and say something about you. What would you want them to say about you as a parent? Who would like to close the night out with a comment? What would you like them to say? My mum or dad was, there's the microphone there. Say it as if you're the kid about you.
I'd like my son or daughter, preferably son, to no, like on a serious note, I'd like him to like step up to the mic and, you know, this is from my perspective. I'm not trying to be funny, but I'd like him to say that I was a good father and I was a G and I was a boss, you know, like I treated him well. I taught him the ways to, like, on how not to be a typical guy as females would perceive it, but how to be a man as such. And how to like live life, and not get into trouble, but rather help others help themselves, like I do, because I'm just a boss like that.
Okay.
Okay, I'd like my children to, what I'd like them to say about me is that I showed them how to, that I was an example of a real daughter of God, not in the sense that I was always doing things right, but the fact that I messed up a lot, but I still righted my wrongs, and I was still a good example in the sense that I showed God's forgiveness and just the amazing power of his love in everything that I did, especially stunning. In the way I acted towards my friends and family and my children and the stunning. Examples that I set.
Someone else? How would you like to be remembered, eulogized, as I think we call it? Someone who hasn't spoken tonight yet. Sean?
Well, I'd like to my children to say that I was a great example and a great father, that I was totally committed to God, yet I still spent time with my family, and that I still loved them, and that I taught them, you know, the right things, and that I was always there for them. Yeah.
Awesome. Someone else?
Okay, I would like my children, 10, to say that my mom loved me for who I am, no matter ugly, fat, short, tall, skinny, just loved and accepted people for who they are, and was a good example to other people.
Next.
I'd like my children to say that I wasn't perfect, but I was considerate. I've never wanted them to be like me. They should right their wrongs and not let me do that for them.
Hmm.
And I was forgiving, encouraging, forthright with them, tell them everything, be open with them, never want to be someone else to my children. Let them be what they want to be and not what I want them to be.
Powerful. Good. Someone else? Shalom.
Okay, I just want my kids to know that whatever matters to them matters to me. So if they want to be an if they want to be like an astronaut on Mars, they must know that I would support them 100%. It doesn't matter what they want to do, and I wouldn't look at them differently no matter what they did.
Awesome.
Okay, what I would want my kids to say is that I've lived my life to the fullest. Basically, like, I experienced what I wanted to experience. I lived a godly life, also cared about friends and family, and just was like an example how to have fun and praise God and just be happy.
Awesome. Another one.
When I'm lying 6 feet under in a wooden box and people surrounding the hole, I honestly just want them to remember me by, or yeah, or my children, to say that I remember my dad as a person that would always come for me, that would just be loyal to whenever, let's say, oh no, I fell and I broke my leg or something, he would always be there no matter where he was. Just like always loyal and just always trying to be the, not trying to be, just very family orientated type of guy. Yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
Well, maybe I'd like my kids to say that I was a good man. I was a great guy that always devoted time to his kids, and he was very busy. And that he never judged us for what we looked like, never for what we did, and he's always there for us when we were hurt, sad, or feeling lost, or whatever what make us depressed and feel sad. So.
A few closing thoughts. And so, God can change your situation as you follow these steps, from admitting to yourself, speaking to Father, telling a friend, asking for help, focusing on the future, knowing that, hey, one day I'm going to be a parent, and I'm going to relive this, and I pray that I'm going to take the best out of it, maybe, and shape the best. And, you know, God could just snap his fingers, and you'll go home tonight, and you'll never have that conflict situation again. And that's going to happen for some of you. But even if nothing changes, you have an awesome future ahead of you. And you've described it here in these words of eulogy. No matter how dysfunctional your family is, no matter how chaotic it is and crazy at times, you can take the best from your situation, you can learn from the worst, and you can live a better future. We heard that on Sunday by Christina Aguilera saying how that she was horribly emotionally abused as a child, but it's made her something different, something special, something great, and it's changed her. Say with me tonight as we end, I'm not okay, but I will be. Because you will be. Thanks, Simton.
Nita has asked me to pray to close off, so awesome. That's what I'm going to do. Can we all bow our heads, please? Father, Lord, oh God, thank you, Lord, that we're here, God. Thank you, Lord, that we can learn that, yes, it's true. Our parents irritate us, and our parents irk us, and our parents do stuff that we don't exactly like. But I thank God that we can also realize that we do things that they don't like, oh God, that we're not exactly perfect ourselves, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that you help us right the wrongs in our families and right the wrongs in our relationship with our parents and our siblings, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you help us connect with our families, oh God, and help us reach out, oh God, and become a stronger family, oh God. Because when our friends aren't there and when there's no one left, the family is always there to protect us. Thank you, Lord, that you're our Father, you're part of our family as well. And I thank you, Lord, that even when everybody else has deserted us, you're still with us, oh God. Just now I prayed. Amen.
Amen.